Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Through 25 seasons, 4,561 episodes, I believe The Oprah Winfrey Show was one of the greatest classrooms in the world.
I really never thought of it that way.
The aha moments, the breakthroughs, the LOLs, the connections, the occasional ugly cry.
I miss him so terribly. I miss him every single minute.
The moments that mattered. The eye-opening life lessons.
Never allow them to take you somewhere else.
I'm bringing them back. It's time to open the vault. I've personally chosen these classic episodes to share with you again.
Every single person you ever will meet shares that common desire. They want to know, do you see me? Do you hear me? Does what I say mean anything to you?
You are listening to The Oprah Winfrey Show. The podcast.
When you are stressed or overwhelmed or you're juggling family and work, do you comfort yourself by eating? Anybody here do that? I can raise both hands. By shopping. Anybody do that? You just feel better when you just get something new. Well, why? What? Are you shop to relieve stress or overwhelm?
Definitely. Shopping takes care of everything. No matter what I buy, I can buy a pair of socks.
It doesn't matter what it is. You're just out there.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Who? Anybody here does relieve stress or being overwhelmed by like having another drink? Thank you for being the one person who will admit it. Everybody else is like, no, not me. Oprah. Everybody has different ways of relieving their stress. Some people, they just yell. They just start yelling and saying the same things over and over and over again. Today, we're going to find out how to turn off the desire to do these things, how to turn off the desire to overeat, how to turn off your desire to overspend, overwork, or drink too much. Laurel Mellon helped thousands of people stop behaving in ways that they say they hate but can't seem to stop. Laurel is a professor of family medicine at the University of California in San Francisco. And she has a new book out called The Pathway. The Pathway. And she says that the key to ending excessive behavior is mastering two skills, self-nurturing and setting limits. What does that mean?
What it means is that in the best of all worlds, we would have been raised with parents that had the skill to nurture themselves so they could give that skill to us. And they could set limits with themselves so they would set limits with us. And if that happened to happen, then by the age of 6 or 8 or 10, we'd be able to nurture ourselves and set limits. Mm-hmm. And what that means is we would have, wait till you hear this, connection. We would have emotional balance, connection to ourselves, intimacy with others, spiritual connections. And I don't know about you, but if you have all those connections working moment to moment throughout the day, do you really need another cupcake? Do you really need another blouse? Do you really need another drink? It naturally turns off the drive. We soothe and comfort inside.
Who has all of that? As you're naming that, I'm thinking, I don't know nobody but Jesus has that. I really don't. It has all of that.
Well, you don't have to have
and
all
Mary
of it.
And Mary wasn't there all the time for him. But anyway, go ahead.
You don't have to have all of it all of the time. But you know what? Life is a lot tougher than it was before.
Yeah, it
you know,
really is.
100 years ago, you didn't need so much nurturing and limits inside because, you know, what was going on? There was lots of nurturing outside. There was very slow lifestyle. There wasn't a lot of change.
So people overeat, overspend, overwork, overdo all that, overstuff.
Right.
Overdo because they have lost a connection.
They have lost this. They do not have sufficient skills. And right now, we need a lot of them. To be able to connect with themselves and create the kind of balance that makes the extra cookie not so necessary.
Okay. This is Pam and her husband, David. David learned that Pam has racked up more than $80,000 in credit card debt. And he's still speaking to her. That's amazing. And Pam admits that she just can't set limits, and buying things comforts her. And now she says her life has spiraled out of control.
This is an addiction. I feel like the alcoholic who can't stop, and I want to stop.
Pamela says she hasn't found a way to set limits on her spending.
Shopping definitely gives me a natural high.
When I feel bad about myself, I go and buy an outfit. I think the more I spend, the better I'll look and the better I'll feel. I have a lot of things with tags on them. I have bought so many exercise videos, Nutrisystem boxes that are unopened in my basement. We had a TV that worked perfectly fine, and I felt we deserved more, so I went out and bought a $2,000 TV. I bought this Ruby band for my daughter Lily, who's 2. I had contacted a credit counseling company, and they told me your credit card debt is $80,000. I was shocked. I was very shocked. Our highest single credit card statement is $25,281. The debt is like the walls are closing on me.
But Pamela says the worst part about her crushing debt is what she fears it is doing to her family.
My biggest fear is that this is going to forever affect my children's future or my husband's job. This is really hard. I can't breathe. I'm on high blood pressure pills. When I spend, I overeat, I get anxious, I stay up at night thinking how I'm going to juggle paying this bill or that bill. I take it out on everyone around me. I do tend, when I get in my mood, to snap at my children or my husband more than I should.
I find quite a few tags and receipts from clothing around the house almost every day.
He'll ask how are the bills, and I'll say, don't worry, it's okay. It's okay.
So to me, there's a little bit of deceit going on that's not healthy.
I'm just afraid that I have done too much at this point, and he's going to leave me.
Pamela says that her spending habits really spun out of control a year and a half ago when her 8-year-old daughter suffered a tragic accident that Pamela feels responsible for.
I was backing out of the garage, and she had her backpack on, and the backpack caught the door handle and pulled her out, and I ran her over, and I'll never get over it. She broke her femur, and she has pins in her leg. She'll always have that scar, and I'll always feel like I owe so much to her, and that's why I spend so much on her. I buy her things, and she doesn't even want them. Since the accident, I have no tolerance. My mood swings are horrible. I'll eat, I'll shop. I'm trying to take some kind of pain away. I have never talked about this. I'm dying inside, and I don't want to feel like this.
So, Pam is with us, and you want to say what to her?
I want to say, I feel really sad you've had so many losses. And what I know is that to any of us, we could have a horrible accident. And all of a sudden, our need for these skills would go sky high. And that's what happened a year and a half ago. And that's when you started all this debt and all this eating. But at that moment, when that horrible event happened, it's hard for any of us to have the skill to go inside and feel our immense anger and sadness and fear and guilt. In other words, connect with ourselves and your husband rather than reaching for food and for spending.
And so it means you have to, in a situation like this, because I think everybody who's ever been through anything, and if you've lived long enough, you've been through something that tried to take you down, take you out, that you have to learn that it's how you respond to whatever it is.
Right.
You have to be able to go inside yourself and pull out whatever that is that's necessary. You have to have the courage to fight back with this thing.
You have to have this intense courage, and you have to have the skill to feel all the feelings. For example, many women cannot feel their anger.
Correct.
In order to heal from a horrible thing like this, you have to be able to feel angry, sad, afraid, and guilty. And when you and I were working together, I couldn't see any red-hot anger come out of you. And what happens is, if we don't feel the anger, our sadness
falls off the cliff into depression, and we don't come out for a long time. When problems get out of hand, such as a big, big debt, you usually have to look to the couple as to, were they passive and then aggressive? And so where was it that someone was not saying to each other, I love you, sweetie, and I know I want to rescue you from your problems, but I'm not going to. Let's talk about it. Or as a people pleaser, because you're a people pleaser, right? Saying to your husband, you know, I'm not going to buy that, sweetie, and I know I'm going to disappoint you, but I've been overspending. So that kind of connection and communication is less likely to happen if we can't nurture and set limits.
What you just said is about telling the truth to your partner and also telling the truth to yourself. If you are in denial,
right,
in such denial where you are lying to yourself about your life, then how are you going to ever begin to tell the truth to somebody else? Because you're lying to yourself.
That's exactly right. The foundation for intimacy with others and the spiritual is intimacy with ourselves. If we don't know how we feel and what we need and can't spit it out, how are we going to connect with another person?
So Laurel spent a whole day working with Pam and two other women to get to the root of their excessive behaviors, perhaps. Some of the things that she talks about and they learn can help you who are watching. Laurel says that for Pam to learn how to begin to nurture herself, which is what so many women are missing, we just give to everybody else and you don't know how to give anything back to yourself. The first step was to begin to feel your real feelings. Feel your real feelings. And I know that sounds weird to a lot of people because you go, I just feel what I feel, but most people don't. You end up pushing those feelings aside, you bury those feelings, you let other people tell you what you're feeling and so on. But you have to begin to feel your real feelings and take out all of your emotional trash because that is what fuels your drive to overspend, overeat, and other things and keeps your life out of balance. In the tape, Laurel helps Pam make a connection between a painful part of her childhood, and I know people are like, oh, here we go looking at the childhood again. Here we go, dragging up my mama and all her troubles. But it's all there. It's all about something that's happened that you have for however many years buried. So we're gonna look at painful part of her childhood and her desire to overspend and see how that's connected. And maybe this will trigger something for y'all.
We're gonna take out some emotional trash with you right now. What I want you to do is tell the story. What hurt that hasn't been healed from the past you wanna begin to take out?
I'm tired of thinking about my parents' divorce when I was 12.
Good.
My mother left. I love her. I speak with her now. I love my father. They did the best they could at the time, but I really felt abandoned at that moment.
What was it like for you when your parents split up?
My mother called up one night and said she couldn't come home anymore.
Okay, let's just go right into the feelings. We're gonna do angry, sad, afraid, and guilty.
I feel angry that they divorced. I feel angry because I feel like my childhood, I was robbed. I feel sad that I didn't feel loved. I feel afraid that I'd never see my mother again. I feel afraid that she wouldn't be there for my wedding.
Just keep checking what feeling, just say it.
I still feel like I'm 12, stuck in a 34-year-old body.
When you don't have the skills to feel it and heal it, your development stops.
I still feel like a child.
It's a reasonable expectation that as you take out this emotional trash, you will watch yourself begin to grow up.
I feel hollow on the inside. But nobody around me, my family, my children, don't see that side. They see, you know, a happy or pretty mom who wears her makeup as soon as she wakes up in the morning and does her hair nice.
So under all those feelings, there were probably some expectations you had that you're still holding on to.
I felt like I had to grow up fast. Even though I feel 12, from that moment on, I felt like I had to become an adult and parent myself.
But let's double check what else, because I heard something else in there. What I heard was, I expect at that moment to stop being me.
Yes, I at that moment stopped being Pam.
I want you to think back to that 12-year-old. What in deep inside of you, what was your expectation?
You're making me think about so much that I can see it. Why I have to please, because I think I've always been trying to please
them.
But my expectation was that I have to please others, not myself.
But I've been pleasing myself by buying my clothes.
Does that really please you?
No.
It's what you want, not what you need. Mm-hmm. I expect myself to do the best I can to stay in balance, connected to myself. I expect myself to do the best I can to get my love from me.
I expect to get my love from me and not others.
Fabulous.
Wow. Well, that took a while to get to there. And also, it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to really believe it.
Oh, yeah.
Are you there yet?
I am getting there. I am on the pathway.
On the pathway.
And that's why it's a pathway, Oprah, because what happens is the reason that you feel that way is because over and over again, the contact you had over and over and over again, the contact you had early in life told you that you didn't matter. So it's not going to be that you can snap your fingers and use this method on one occasion and have it all done, because your inner life has soaked that in.
I read the book and nothing happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For Pam to have deeply within her bones the sense that she matters will take about a year and a half of working in workbooks and on the internet and groups with these skills. But the important thing is that it will go away. It wasn't until she got into her feelings very, very deeply that she could find that basic expectation that had been emblazoned on her early in life.
How are feelings also what you believe? Because one of the things that I teach in the seminars that I do around the country is that you end up in life becoming what you believe, not what you necessarily want.
It's the same thing.
Or what you think.
The difference between beliefs and expectations is you believe something's going to happen. The expectation is one step further.
Yeah.
I believe that life is unhappy because I grew up unhappy. That's one thing. But that's as if you're a parentless child. You've left yourself on the highway.
Uh-huh.
Instead, you change it to an expectation and say, I know that I expect life to be unhappy because my life's been unhappy, but I expect myself to do the best I can to start building a happier life. In other words, it gives you responsibility and power and direction instead of just living with how it's been.
Okay. Laurel says the key to learning to nurture yourself is to ask three questions throughout the day, starting with, how do I feel?
The reason we go down to feelings is feelings are far deeper than thoughts. We're thinking all day long, right? But it doesn't connect with us. You have to go under the thoughts to the feelings. In other words, you won't really know what you need and begin to take care of it until you go right down to your
feelings.
Now,
everybody kind of ignored that. I saw y'all like, oh. But that is so fundamental. That is so fundamental.
You come down to a feeling, and then when you get to
that feeling. How do you feel right now? How do you feel?
Proud.
Proud?
I feel proud right now.
It's very important for Pam, because most of the time when we don't have as many of these skills as we need, we're on a teeter-totter. Mm-hmm. We're all good, and then we're all bad. Mm-hmm. We're all happy, then we're all sad. We're passive, then we're aggressive, and we're trying to find balance. It's very important when Pam, and Pam tends to do that. You tend to go way high and way low, right?
That's
it. So when you do your feelings check, let's say that you feel like going and getting something to eat or getting your credit cards, and instead you go for this I feel skill. Right. And you say, how do I feel? And you come up with one good feeling and one difficult one.
I am feeling so satisfied that I ate that taco today. Because I was thinking not to eat the taco. And I'm feeling today, like you, I'm thinking, I'm so glad I ate that taco. Because I feel so satisfied. And not to eat the taco all day, I was going to be thinking, if I'd have just had the taco, I wouldn't be like, you know, rumbling around, looking for something else to give me that sense of satisfaction. So I'm feeling so satisfied.
Good.
Yeah, yeah. Are y'all feeling satisfied? That's very good. And you're feeling proud.
I'm feeling proud that I'm taking the step.
And don't you feel good knowing, first of all, that you are in control of this?
Yes,
that this
I
isn't
know that
something
now.
Happening outside of you, and that you can just all of a sudden wait for it to happen, that you are the one who's going to either make it better or you're going to go into the great abyss.
Right, and I don't want to go there.
So the key, it's how do I feel, what do I need, and
do I need
support?
And for example, my friend here, Pam, has a very hard time, like many of us do, making requests of others. If we can't receive the love and connection around us, we're going to be getting it some way or another that's not quite as healthy.
We're giving you some tools to bring balance to your life by digging deep, or beginning to dig deep and discover why you overeat, why you overspend, and why you work too much. This is Tracy, who says that she cannot turn off the compulsion to overeat and to overwork.
I consider myself a sad excuse of a woman. I'm an overworking, overeating, overspending mess. I currently work 3 jobs, 1 full-time, 2 part-time jobs. Sometimes in a 4-day week, I'll put in an average of 10 shifts. I'll work doubles back-to-back. I work a lot of weekends, too. My family does not need the money that I bring in from all the jobs that I work. I have a lovely home. I have beautiful gardens that my husband works diligently at making beautiful for me so that I can enjoy them. And I don't even have the time to spend here at the house to see what is blooming.
We certainly miss her when, you know, when it gets late at night and there's nobody here but me and the kids.
When's Mom going to be home?
I don't know, maybe tonight. There's times that I feel abandoned. My daughter will quite frequently mention that Mom's never home.
No, but I don't want Mom home.
I feel at times that I don't have a full-time partner since she's gone at all the different jobs all the time. Overworking has certainly impacted the children, particularly our little girl. She just doesn't have the time with Mom to spend that we feel that she needs to grow up and develop.
My friends ask me why I work so much, and I think it's because I lack something in my life. Not doing what I really want to do. I often feel ashamed. My friends hold me in a very high regard, and I have a lot I don't tell them about. They'd be shocked.
Yeah, I want a number 1 with cheese.
I'm a constant eater. I weigh 200 pounds. You would think with all the work that I do, I wouldn't have time to eat, but I do. I will stop at drive-thrus in between jobs and stuff myself. I always buy my meals with cash. That way my husband doesn't know how much I spend when I eat. I have issues from childhood that I have not dealt with. Every day, my father told me I would never amount to anything. I was useless, I was nothing. I was fat, lazy, stupid. It's that voice in the back of my head that says, no matter what you've achieved, no matter what you've done, you're still nothing. It makes me very emotional. I feel like a failure. I get sad. I can't seem to set a goal for myself and achieve it. It makes me mad at myself. And even though I've spent years journaling and digging and searching and opening myself up to new ways of thinking, I'm still this insecure, pathetic failure. I feel that I'm not doing anything meaningful in my life. I'm tired of seeking answers to my problems with work, food, and shopping. I am emotionally and physically completely worn out and out of balance in my life.
So, Laurel says that Tracy is wildly disconnected from her family and herself. What does that mean?
It means that she has so much emotional trash, and she's so disconnected from herself that she's so busy with spending and eating and working that she can't breathe and just be in her own body, connect with her own feelings, and be aware of their feelings. She also said that she'd lost her spiritual connection. And that's why when you have a traumatic event and you don't clean up that emotional trash, the feelings are so difficult and hard that you just turn them off. You just turn off your feelings. And when you turn off your feelings, you lose all the connections, and then you're lost. The feeling is of being abandoned and lost and not able to really reach anything that is sweet and warm and real within her.
Well, we're talking about your book is called The Pathway, and it's about the pathway to your own emotional connection.
Yes.
Connection is the key word. And what I think is, it's very easy to look at other people who overspend. You go, $80,000, I would never do that, or my husband would be crazy, my husband would leave me. And so you can say, I wouldn't do that. But yours is coming out in other ways. And I think for a lot of people, overworking is really easy to justify.
Oh, right. You notice
it's an acceptable form of being out of control.
Right. Only one person said that they overdrank, because that's stigmatizing. Mm-hmm. How many people here overwork? Lots of overwork, overexercise, people please, rescue. They have the same dynamics and the same roots, but they're socially acceptable.
Right.
Whereas if you shoot up on heroin and if you drink yourself silly and you eat yourself to 400 pounds and you spend every cent in the family, it's not so socially acceptable. But they have the same roots. And that's why most of us have more than one excess. So if you spend all your time and energy on fixing every single problem, focusing on the problem, you're going to be broke and you're going to be disappointed. Instead, go to the roots. And the roots are inside you to pump up these skills to create balance and connection inside. They're just skills. and anyone can learn them.
So anybody overspending, overeating, overworking, overindulging in any way, the root is you're out of balance with yourself and your own life. That is the root.
You have not, do not have enough of these skills, given your life situation, to be able to connect with yourself. And all you have to do is pump those skills up, practice them, just like going to the gym, except you're practicing. How do I feel? What do I need? What's a reasonable expectation? Until you notice that it's just natural.
Okay. Take a look at how Tracy makes the connection that overworking is her way of avoiding her real feelings.
I was raised with a father that insisted daily that I was useless. I was fat and ugly and worthy of nothing. That's that voice in my head that won't ever go away. And I hate that my mother felt that the best way to nurture and raise us was to leave us so that she could find what she wanted as opposed to what we needed.
Well, no matter what you do now to be successful with your work, with your family, in your life, it doesn't matter.
No.
Because inside you, your mother said you don't matter, so you still don't matter today.
I'm afraid that if I don't have all the work that I have, then I have to stop and be with me. And I don't want to stop to be with me. I just stay busy doing things, even though they have no real meaning in my life.
So this is why it goes from generation to generation to generation. You can see it in your own family.
My kids are being abused by my neglect. My kids are going to end up as unstable as I am. I'm mad that I've allowed myself to work, to eat, to spend myself into an abyss. I'm mad that I'm not home with my husband to help him. I'm disgusted in the fact that I'm not there to help him. With the children, with the house, when I am there, I'm emotionally disconnected from them. I'm so wrapped up in myself and the ugliness of what I think of myself. I feel horrible that I'm doing the same thing my mom did to me.
Well, that is a big old connection you made.
It is.
Yeah, realizing that you are, number one, neglecting your children the way you were neglected and doing the same thing, pushing people away, pushing them away, pushing them away.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Did that help you in any way?
It helped me tremendously. Mm-hmm. It is the catapult that has put me over it to where I can finally say, I think I'm going to be able to deal with it now. And just accept that it's okay, and I did the best that I could, and go on to do better.
Mm-hmm. Now, Laurel recommends that Tracy ask herself, how do I feel? What do I need? Every hour.
Every hour.
Okay. How do I feel? What do I need? How do you feel right now?
Anxious.
Anxious.
Mm-hmm. Scared.
Scared. Of?
Of having to face it.
Mm-hmm. To deal with yourself.
Yes.
I think that's so interesting. And you know what? You know, millions of people are watching you. Don't let that scare you more. but millions of people are watching you, and I bet you there are a number of them who identify with what you say, that the being with themselves is what they're really running away from.
Yes.
And Laurel says it takes about 2 years of asking and answering those questions. How do I feel? What do I need? To begin to retrain your brain. I understand exactly what you're talking about, because what has happened here is for years, based on what you were taught about yourself, you grew up as a kid, you believe that.
Yeah.
You believe that. You then reinforce that. So even when you don't have your mother telling you, you are reinforcing it all the time. And for everybody who's tried and failed and tried and failed, it's not about just getting up and telling yourself something different. It's about completely retraining your brain.
Yeah,
because it's not just, oh, I have a thought and, oh, gee, and now I'm okay. Correct?
And that's right. And that's why we have to have some compassion for ourselves.
So have you started doing the work?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, and how does that work for you? What does that really mean?
It means being in the moment with myself and taking
Tell us an example of when you've had to do this and what was going on?
I was headed home yesterday, and I had a lot of things to do to prepare myself to leave town for a very long trip, and I was very anxious, and I was getting overwhelmed, and I was starting to feel angry about it. and I was driving home, and it hit. I started thinking, okay, what are you really angry about? What are you really angry about? And I stopped in the moment, and I took my pulse, and I said, I'm angry because I have this emotional trash. And then I went on to say, okay, well then that makes me sad. Why does that make me sad? It makes me sad because it happened, mm-hmm. because it happened to me. And then I went on to thinking of what I was going to do about it. And in that moment, I just started crying. I lost myself because it was like, this is so easy. And it became so immediately natural. There's so many other things I'm sure that I have to do, but just those few sentences alone of stopping, taking my pulse and saying, what am I feeling now? Why am I feeling that? Is it reasonable? I asked myself, is it reasonable to feel that way about my emotional stress? And absolutely, it's reasonable to feel that way. Now, what am I going to do about it? What do I need?
Yeah, because these are the follow-up questions, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Do I need support?
It's the work. Moment to moment.
All of this is about nurturing and limits. Being able to nurture yourself and set limits.
Good parents give you both nurturing and limits. If you just have nurturing, it leads to indulgence.
Correct.
You need to have the balance of nurturing and limits inside you.
Okay, so it's you being able to give yourself what your parents were not able to give you.
Precisely.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That is a process. Yeah.
However, what that means is, it's not that they didn't love us. If they didn't have these skills, they couldn't give them to us. And you know what? It's easy to sink into self-pity and blame. Instead, take the baton from your parents and give those skills to yourself.
Okay. Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you.
Meet Melissa now, who says she is the mother of all people pleasers. She is the mother of them all. Here we go.
I worry tremendously. I worry that there's not enough hours in the day to do all the things that I want to do.
Melissa has pretty much a list for everything.
I keep a pen and a pad in my purse. I keep one in my glove compartment in my car. If something's not on the list and we've planned the day, that's like World War III. If we meet friends for dinner, if they're not there on time, I lose it.
I'm always here getting stressed out. I mean, she does have high blood pressure. And I try to tell her all the time she just needs to relax a little bit. Pretty much, Melissa's bam, bam, bam. She has a time frame, a time schedule.
I stay up at night worrying. I am a people pleaser, and I will at times put off things for me and my husband. Hello? Melissa, can I borrow your car? Melissa, can I borrow some money to go to the grocery store just until I get paid? Sure, sure.
Sure? No problem.
Of course, my husband's always in the background. Don't do that. Yeah, getting taken advantage of. Tomorrow, that's kind of short notice. I'll write it down and I'll see what I can do to get it all done.
She does various things coping. I mean, shopping is something that definitely relaxes her.
Shopping makes me happy.
Dress shoes, casual shoes, sandals, jeans.
But then the bill comes every month and it's like, God, did I buy that? The credit card bills are bad. When my husband and I first started dating, I would say I probably weighed about 115 pounds. Now I weigh about 155 pounds. This is Snack Haven. Salsa and dip, granola bars, Hostess anything. Always makes you feel better. Mm-hmm. And it's better than heaven. It's hard. It gets tough at times.
I feel worried that I won't have enough time out of the day to just look into my husband's eyes and tell him I love him. It's no life. It's no life for me, for my husband.
Laurel says Melissa has paper-thin boundaries, as do all people pleasers.
Yes.
Yeah.
People pleasers have very thin boundaries because there's no acceptance inside. There's no strong, nurturing voice inside. And usually there's emotional trash from the past of early rejection.
And paper-thin boundaries, meaning anybody can cross them at any time.
Oh,
anybody can.
You know, I know how you feel and what you need, but do I know how I feel and what I need? Uh-huh. No.
Uh-huh.
What I need, in order for me to feel good, you have to like me. You have to love me because I don't have that nurturing, loving voice inside myself. I'm dependent upon it. I'm dependent upon your acceptance because I haven't gone downside to and faced that I am alone.
And that leads to a false comfort. Aren't people pleasers underneath really angry? Hello. I mean, underneath all of that pleasing and pleasing stuff, aren't, if you were to like scrape the surface, great, go down. But there's a lot of anger there for people pleasers.
There's a lot of anger and there's a lot of despair because they feel so deeply unloved. The early history for most people who are people pleasers was of parental rejection.
Yeah.
And so the whole key is to take out that emotional trash, which mm-hmm. we'll see in a minute, and to feel our feelings. And Melissa's a person who is highly thinking-oriented, which has a problem to it. Those of us who tend to be not feeling-oriented, like Pam was, but thinking-oriented, do great in the world. We go out and we analyze and we make things happen and we take action. However, we don't feel. So you cannot have a connection without a feeling. So we're cut off from ourselves. Our relationships may be loving, but they're not connecting, and the spiritual. And so we end up doing one excess after another. So one of the things that I want you to do, my dear, is to disrupt the obsessive, repetitive thoughts. All that list making, you're not worrying, you're obsessing. Because over control and obsessive thinking is a way of getting the illusion of control. The real control you have inside is the practice, moment to moment throughout the day, of going inside and finding your feelings.
Well, say that again, the over-control and the listing
things. The list makes, she's worried. She's not worried. She's obsessing. Her thoughts are racing.
And so that's an illusion that you're creating, that you do have some control?
Not only, so in other words, the more you think, if I can just figure it out, if I can just analyze it enough, mm-hmm. then I can control it. And it's just a complete illusion. And yet it takes a lot of time. It's socially acceptable to analyze everything, but it doesn't give your heart, your soul, what you truly need.
What do you think about what she's saying?
She's absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. She's absolutely correct. If I do something, I have to see it through to the end. There is no, everything has to have a beginning and a middle and an end, and the end can't come in the middle, and the beginning can't be in the end. Mm-hmm. If it happens like that, then that's it. I don't want to do it. Forget it.
Right.
You're like, there's a very famous person, might have been Emerson, I don't know, who said, some people are so busy leading the lives they planned, mm-hmm. so you can't lead the life that was meant for you?
That's true.
Yeah, would that be you?
That would be me. That would be me.
Probably wasn't Emerson, but I love that quote.
Most of us have, who don't have enough of these skills, had parents who were either too easy on us or too hard on us, who didn't have any real expectations of us, didn't expect much, or had rigid, harsh expectations. And you had harsh expectations mm-hmm. on you, mm-hmm. and so the harsh expectations went from your dad and your mom mm-hmm. to you. Mm-hmm. And how is it for you to have those harsh expectations inside of you?
Oh, gosh. It's like a volcano.
Right.
Mm. About to erupt. Mm.
And so what you're going to do, because that's not genetic, it's mm-hmm. learned, is moment to moment, you're going to begin to switch that expectations from I have to be perfect mm-hmm. to I expect mm-hmm. myself to do the best I can. Right. I don't have to be perfect right. to be wonderful.
That's my new motto.
That's right.
That's my new motto.
And I know that's going to be written down.
I'm Oprah Winfrey, and you've been listening to The Oprah Winfrey Show, the podcast. If you haven't yet, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join me next week for another Oprah Show, the podcast. And I thank you for listening.